And it's another Tuesday morning, and that means it's time for Tom and Jane, another video. Thanks for joining us. Hey, if you're just joining us, why don't hit the subscribe button before we get started, and then you won't be bogged down with all these things you got to do later. You know, you hit the subscribe button, ring the notification bell, you'll always be notified when we're on again, and which is every Tuesday and Thursday at 10 o'clock Mountain Time. And if you'd like to support us monetarily, there's a link in the description below for Patreon. And we're brought to you by StreamYard, of course. That's how we produce these fabulous videos. That's what we use. There's a link to a free subscription down below for that. And today we got to talk about Bitcoin ETFs. Safe investments or not? And I guess we've got to start with what are Bitcoin, Shane?
That's right. Well, I mean, it's probably the most well known and certainly one of the most well understood. And I think it's an important conversation because it's my belief with what's happening in the market and what we're seeing today, which isn't good, is resulted in, you know, it's basically that Bitcoin has become the safe haven. In my mind, I look at gold today. It's 1,870. It's made a run at 2,000 several times in the last 5 years, but it isn't a commodity of value. It's like Bitcoin in that it's only of itself. There's no actual benefit and it's exposure because it's meant to be a defensive position. But Bitcoin, I think, and the cryptocurrencies now of choice have replaced gold. Not necessarily silver, because silver as a commodity is an industrial metal that's used, you know, globally. Mm-hmm. And it also represents an opportunity to invest in it inherently as a coin, you know, buying coins, which I always talk about. So when you look at cryptocurrency and you look at what it is, it's a virtual currency. It's on the internet and you know it's global, and it has the advantage of being able to allow a person to go from one country to another, and basically the concept was that you'd be able to travel with it and you get the currency that you wanted in the country you were visiting without getting slammed, you know, with anywhere from, you know, 10 to 15% surcharge by the credit card and your bank, you know, as far as the currency you're exchanging.
Yeah.
It's moved from that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's principally what it was, a medium of exchange for people to use while they were traveling.
Yeah. The benefit you were talking about, people used to go to gold for, you know, a hedge against inflation. I never could understand that anyway, because, you know, gold is only worth what somebody's willing to pay for it. And, you know, you can't spend it. You can't take it down to Walmart.
That's right.
But you can take Bitcoins down to Walmart. Well, I don't know if you can this Walmart, but you can certainly take them to some Walmarts, I guess, around the world, and you could spend Bitcoin to buy all sorts of stuff. So it's
the interesting aspect of this and why I think it's a safe haven and replace gold is because this is what's going on in China. That, you know, they've completely eradicated their currency. The only hard currency coinage that they have left is in rural parts of China, because that's what people have been using for, you know, 10,000 years. But anybody in the urban cities of China use their cell phone and basically, you know, pay for everything. They don't have a bank card. They just have their cell phone and use it with, you know, the debit machines wherever they shop. And it's given them a complete hold of the economy and of the black market, which is still alive in the rural areas. And that's what the yuan, most of the first world, Western Europe and the United States and so forth, that's where they want to go. Mm-hmm. And particularly the United States, $1.2 trillion underground economy, they want after that. And they're not going to get there, of course, because these Orwellian things they're doing, like the Truth Commission, some knob wanting to be famous, releases a summary of a Supreme Court judge's thinking of in a case, and the world explodes, right?
Mm-hmm. All these things
happening in real time affect everything, and that's why this whole issue with the market, which will bear value, to Bitcoin. It's held its value to a large degree because of the sell-off, and I firmly believe that the majority of the sell-off has been from specifically Russian and Chinese oligarchs, wealthy people to want to hurt the U.S. market. And they've done a pretty good job, because
they
forced a correction, and we'll see how well it holds up. One of the interesting aspects of Bitcoin is, because of its extended use, you can actually buy it by other means or hold it by other means without being involved in it, because it's at $38,000. So that's what we wanted to talk briefly about today.
Yeah. Nathan says Bitcoin is a replacement of silver, and cryptocurrency is a digital currency. Of course, we know that certainly so. Well, the other thing we got to talk about, Shane, we got to talk about Bitcoin mining a little bit. We talked about what it is, but Bitcoin mining is the process of creating new Bitcoins by solving extremely complicated math problems that verify transactions in the currency. When a Bitcoin is successfully mined, the miner receives a predetermined amount of Bitcoin. And usually that's about 3 or 4 Bitcoins, somewhere in that neighborhood. The average time for generating Bitcoin is about 10 minutes, but this applies only to powerful machines. The speed of mining depends on the type of Bitcoin mining that you're using. So that's about as complicated as we can make it, I think.
Well, and also, look, mining isn't the word. The word is stealing.
Yeah,
because in effect, what the mining algorithm you're trying to develop is to find people's passwords, and in doing so, steal from or take their bitcoins or some of their bitcoins. This whole mining concept of the capital of Bitcoin is a bit strange, because Bitcoin is confirmed. They've issued 22 million bitcoins, and there's just under 20 million that have been, so to speak, mined out. It's not a case of finding them, because it's got to be paid for, unless you steal it. So again, this is in itself a way for them to market this instrument as a haven of safety, because as long as they have people mining it and not successfully stealing, it creates comfort in it. But we've seen the price of Bitcoin collapse literally over some stories, where someone has forgotten their password, or someone someone's had Bitcoin stolen, and then you go through this the business or the news cycle of it for 10, 20 days, and it has an effect long term, because of the global markets that we're looking at and what's involved. Mm-hmm. These are around to stay. There's over 1,200. The bottom line to crypto is that there's basically Ether and Bitcoin. Ether is a crypto that the wealthy invested in because they missed Bitcoin, so they picked one together and they all went plowing into it. It's trading at 28,000. Bitcoin's at 38. The price doesn't really matter, as much as how much you have in it. Mm-hmm. So rather than being mixed with hundreds of thousands of people in Bitcoin, you'd rather be in a private club of a few thousand, right? In Ether. That's basically the difference.
There you go. John says wiring money bank to bank in the U.S. Is a pain to do. Okay. And I'm a miner of Litecoin, And I'd love to debate the idea on stealing mining as confirming transactions and confirming newly minted coins. Yeah, Bitcoin is pretty darn hard to steal. It's all nearly impossible to steal Bitcoins from someone.
And that's why I mentioned, yeah. You know, the whole this whole concept of people mining it. It's to keep it in the news cycle, to keep people talking about
well,
it.
Well, yeah. No, that's...
It's one of the things that they want to use to promote it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what happened was is that, like everything, you know, the general market wants to get involved. And Bitcoin's been around since 2009. And it took, you know, it took a gathering storm in about 10 years and you know, 8-10 years. And finally, you know, the commodities market in Chicago said, oh, let's offer Bitcoin futures. And so it became a big rage because the market could get in it and literally, you know, buy, you know, puts and calls, futures, future value of it and trade it because they didn't want to pay so much for it. And then, of course, as ETFs started to grow, you know, exchange traded funds, which, you know, it's a basket of stocks or equities that you can buy. So it spreads your risks out amongst them. So you can buy a tech ETF, which has, all, you know, all the FANG stocks. It's got, you know, Amazon and it's got Netflix and it's got Facebook and even Tesla. And so it's less expensive as opposed to direct ownership, but it still has leverage, meaning it can enhance, it can grow in value, and it's long term. You know, it's not an ETF is an exchange traded fund. So the fund may have a certain time limit. You know, it might be 5, 10 years, 2 years, 6 years, or ever. But it was a way for people to invest. So now, you know, I went and you know, there's over 20 different ETFs for Bitcoins, and we looked them up. ProShares, it's called ProShares Bitcoin Strategy ETF, is $23.75. What separates it from all the others is it's got $1.3 billion in this ETF. So they have managed to convince people to invest. I think it was over $700 million. Which they then bought, different types of cryptocurrencies. And of course, the price has escalated from there in value. Another ETF is called Valkyrie, a Bitcoin Strategy ETF. Valkyrie, of course, is a famous god, but it was also Valkyrie was the code name for the attempted assassination of Hitler back in World War II. Anyway, yeah. it trades at $14.72. And it only has though about 47 million in value, and yeah. There's 2.7 million shares issued on it. So again, you've got the potential of leverage again in some kind of downturn, horrendous downturn market, and everyone runs somewhere for to protect themselves. Bitwise 10 crypto index, interesting name, 2620. It's weekly. Its trading date range from over the last 52 weeks is as high as $79, and you can't find a lot of information about it, like you know how old, you know what's issued on it or anything. It's one of those black boxes.
Yeah,
that's probably why it trades the way it does.
Yeah, well, the exchange traded funds are you can trade them like stock.
That's right.
They're a group. But just to clarify for the listeners that, if you buy a share of Coke, you can sell that share of Coke. Well, if you buy tech stocks, an ETF of tech stocks, and you can sell all of those as a single entity. So it makes it kind of. That's kind of nice, and as Shane pointed out, you can spread it over things, tech stocks. You can have Facebook and FANG and Google and Amazon and LinkedIn and Netflix and all of that in there. And one, you can trade the whole thing as one. So makes it kind of nice. So ETFs on Bitcoins. Now, the one thing you were pointing out, Shane, the prices on these are very reasonable. 20 bucks,
That's
25
right.
bucks or whatever.
Okay, VanEck Bitcoin Strategy ETF, yeah. $37.41.
Yeah.
Now, its range for the last 52 weeks is between 32 and 61. So that's a leverage of 100%.
Yeah.
You know, it has 29 million in net assets. And so its net average value to its assets is about $37. So it's it's trading at value. Another one is Global X Blockchain and Bitcoin Strategy ETF. This one's interesting, $13.43. There's only 8 million assets in it. But it has 959,000, you know, almost a million outstanding coins. Mm-hmm. So again, it's an interesting aspect to look at because it's basically been trading in the same range. It hasn't really moved in the last year. And so those are the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the 13 or 14 I found that I thought was probably the most important to mention today that people could go look at. But the important thing is, it's just, go Google cryptocurrency ETF and you'll get all the information you want to look at. Mm-hmm. And I don't think, a lot of balance to the whole concept of an account or, what money you manage is 60-40, right? 60% in equity and 40% in debt. And of that 40%, maybe 10% is with risk. So, again, a safe haven, I think, better than gold is one of these crypto ETFs. And from price. Whatever you may have in gold stock or gold itself, not gold itself, you hold that physically, but whatever you have in gold stock or gold ETFs, the price is going to be far greater than any of these. If you're going to invest in something, you want something that'll give you leverage in it because it's a risk investment because of an extreme occurrence. So by that, I mean, silver would, go from 25 to, who knows, 50, 500 or more. Sure, yeah. Gold might go to 10,000, but to hold it with no value really.
Yeah, that's
not a lot of leverage. Yeah, it's not a lot of leverage. I mean, if gold went to 10,000, silver at 25 would easily go to 2,500. Well, you win with the silver, but these Bitcoin ETFs, they could go to, $300-$500 from 15, 20, 30 bucks. So. Yeah. That's why we talk this way. That's why we make these observations, is to give people an opportunity to look at something. We're not trying to replace this guy on CNBC,
No. Well, you could go to coinmarketcap.com, coinmarketcap.com, and you'll see all of them, all the prices of the Bitcoins, not the ETFs, but the Bitcoin are all listed there. So, if you're looking at ETFs, you might look at, which coins are in this ETF, which groups of coins are in there. And does that make sense that these are going to appreciate over time or not? So
that's right.
That's
the other place to go is lowercase all trading, trading economics, .com/. Click on that and then go there, and the bar at the front will show you currency, stocks, commodities, bonds, and so on. But and click on markets at the top black bar, and then it'll take you and you can see commodities, crypto, stocks, bonds, it's a great trading economics.com/crypto is what I'm looking at right now. And if you haven't done it, it's just fascinating to see how many there are.
There are a lot of them. Yeah, there are a lot of them. That's what I say. You got to do your research. If you're going to, anytime you're going to invest in anything, you need to, think it through. research it, obviously.
Yeah, that's so, right. Yeah. You can't just.
So, we're not here to tell you, hey, go out and buy a grip Bitcoin because it's the next best thing to have. All we're doing is making you aware of it. And, do your due diligence, go in and look at it and see if it works for you.
Yeah. This isn't a song and share show, we're just here to give you a look at and an idea of where and how to, in this case, consider an investment or, as we say, an investment tool or what we review all the time because the market's crazy. I've made my call. I've made my call since last May, a year, and I made my big call in November and December, told everyone to sell. That was the top.
Yeah.
They had till February on all the FANG stocks, but if you didn't, into March, I told people, if you have something with 50% or more profit, get rid of it.
Get out.
But, if you didn't, now you're sort of settling into, now what do I do? Because, it is going to get worse. I mean, it's gone down a lot. Like we're
talking recession is a no-brainer at the moment. We've been looking at it for the last year or so, or since the election, things started going downhill. After that,
all you had to do was watch that comedian at the Correspondence Center.
I know.
And it was so funny because Mr. President, ever since you've been president, things have really looked up. Everything's up.
Yeah.
Price of gas is up. Price of food is up. Price of rent is up. Everything's up. Wow. What country could a guy in front of the leader of the country say something like that and be alive? That was amazing.
That says a lot, doesn't it?
I don't know. Did you watch it?
No, I didn't bother. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So the guy that was the comedian, I can't think of his name, but
Trevor Noah.
Trevor Noah, and he has a podcast.
Yeah.
And
he's the Daily Show replacement guy.
Right, but he had his own private podcast, and Biden was on it, and he was the one Biden said to you. If you're gonna vote for Trump and not me, you ain't black. Isn't that him?
Yeah. No, that wasn't him.
Oh well, I thought it was. Okay.
No, it wasn't him. Well, no, it was another black guy, but it wasn't
another
him.
Black guy. Yeah.
Right. who was it? One of those dumb names, E something. E
was it? Oh, okay,
I don't know.
I thought it was him.
No, it wasn't Trevor Noah. No, yeah, wasn't him.
Well, and of course, when he said this at the correspondence, they panned over to the president, who's sitting here laughing. And I'm thinking, you just blew
funny.
Any.
It was funny.
No, but
I should laugh at
him. He just blew any election. I mean, that are you kidding? That's a 20-second piece for any campaign.
Oh, yeah. No, it'll be in the campaign, I'm sure.
Biden's laughing at the fact that the prices of everything are up.
It was funny.
Yeah, but that's not the point. It's the optics. We're talking optics.
Well, it was still funny. All right. Hey, don't forget, we're on radio every Saturday. So, I mean, if you enjoyed the few minutes we've been here with you right now, I mean, think 3 hours. Holy smokes. How much fun will that be? Go to KMMSAM.com and click listen now. No sign in, no personal information, no nothing to join. All you do is click listen now and listen. And you can call us, you can text us, you can do anything like that. And also our past shows are there too. Not only our YouTube shows and Facebook Live, but also all of our radio shows are there as well. And you can check out any of them and see what's going on. So, yeah.
Well, I just want to comment about John's question about how easy is it to convert Bitcoin. If you're traveling, it's very actually easy to go to a global bank. Not like a state bank or a kind. If you can find a global bank anywhere that you're at, you can. Mm-hmm. They'll take your Bitcoin because they want to buy it and hold an inventory. So, yeah. But, they started out, oddly enough, first machine, Vancouver, BC, 5 years ago with Bitcoin. And it hasn't really accelerated from there. You would have thought it would, but the usage was just none. And yeah. And they went there because there's so many Chinese, wealthy Chinese mm-hmm. in Vancouver, as we all know, from Hong Kong mm-hmm. principally, mm-hmm. But made no use of it. So it hasn't really expanded. They don't have a gauntlet of ATM machines out there. So yeah. Capital intense because, you know, it's not like they got to go put money in it. It's virtual. It's just a computer. Mm-hmm. But the most important thing is maintenance, right?
Yep. That's it. Everything costs something. Somewhere. Yeah, somebody gets a bill.
If you have hard equipment, you got to maintain it.
That's for sure.
If you don't maintain it, it won't work, baby.
That won't work. All right. That's going to wrap it up for us. Hey, thanks for watching. Hey, don't forget to subscribe. Ring the notification bell. Like us. We're on radio every Saturday, and we'll see you on the next podcast. That'll be Thursday at 10 a.m. Mountain Time. So we'll see you then.